May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pure and acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, our Master, and our King. Amen. You may be seated. Today we will continue in our sermon series that focuses on the sermons of Jesus, sermons that are recorded in the Gospel of Matthew. We began with the Sermon on the Mount in our first week, which really is a sermon on Christian living, as Jesus redefines the law for us and tells us how we are to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth. Last week we had what is known as the evangelism sermon, found in Matthew 10, or the sending out sermon. This is a sermon where Jesus taught his disciples the principles of evangelism and how to take the gospel message out to others and how to share it with them. Today's sermon, well, it's a perfect follow-up to that, because today's sermon, found in Matthew 13, tells us how evangelism will affect people. It'll affect those who accept it, and it will affect those who reject the message. But first, let's just set the scene here. This particular sermon takes place in a completely different area. Jesus is up in Capernaum. He was probably staying at Peter's house. Got up in the morning, he went down to the seashore, and all sorts of people were flocking to come and see him and to hear him. He had become rather popular by this point in time. As the people begin to crowd around him there on that northwest shore of the Sea of Galilee, everybody wanted to get closer. And as they wanted to get closer and closer, they began to really kind of crush in on Jesus. And he realized no good was going to come out of this. So he did a very simple thing. He got in a boat. Probably Peter and Andrew's or James and John. They were fishermen that were located there in Capernaum. And he set out from shore just a distance, not far, but far enough that people aren't going to be crowding around him because they'd get wet. And the water was probably cold. And so he sets out in this boat and he sits. And as soon as he sits, everybody gets quiet. They all just stand and they wait. This is because in Jewish custom, rabbis always taught from a sitting position. And so if a rabbi sat down, it very simply meant, get ready because here comes the lesson. I was sharing this morning in our Sunday school class that the last several years where I taught, I used that same method. Our school was departmentalized, and so the teachers moved from class to class teaching their individual subjects. I taught math, I taught science. When you come into the classroom and there's this transition, the natural reaction of the kids is talk. Talk with each other. One teacher is leaving, a new one's coming in. They see it as like a 2-minute break. And you have to come in, you have to get your stuff together and everything. They were never, you know, out of control, but I always had a little stool with me. And I'd take that stool, I'd set it down, and I would sit. It was an amazing thing. As soon as I sat down, whew, peace in the classroom. Quiet. They knew the lesson was going to begin. So Jesus sits down in the boat. He's going to begin his sermon. Actually, I was thinking about that. We were doing this all wrong. I'm standing. I get up and I say, you may be seated. And you know, oh, the sermon's going to begin. So you all sit and I stand. It's supposed to be reversed. I think I'll talk with the elders about that, see if I can have a stool out here, and I'll just have you stand during my notoriously short sermons. Anyways, for today, we'll continue with our own methodology here. Anyways, Jesus sits down, and he begins this sermon, and this is known as the parable sermon, because the entire sermon is given in a series of short parables. Now, parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning, and Jesus starts with the parable of the sower. He says, the sower goes out into the field, and he sows the seed. Some of the seed falls on rocky soil. Some of it falls on the path. Some of it falls amongst weeds. And some of it falls on good soil. Soil that lands on the path, well, the path is hard. The seeds can't get in. The birds come and they eat it. The soil that lands on, or the seed that lands on the rocky soil, well, the rocky soil just has a very thin layer of soil on top, and under that is rocks, and so water just goes right through and it dries out quickly. The seeds germinate, but then as soon as the sun comes out and rain stops, the ground dries out, plants die. The seed that lands amongst the weeds, well, you know what that's like. If you've ever fought weeds in a lawn or in a garden, the weeds win. They grow up and they choke your seed out. 1/4 of the seed lands on the good soil, and when it grows, it produces a crop. A crop that is described as 30, 60 to 100 times what was begun with. Now, Jesus gives this parable, and his disciples kind of scratch their head and they go, "So what's that mean?" In fact, they asked him straight up, "Why do you speak to the people in parables?" And Jesus' answer at first sounds rather confusing. His answer is, again, "This is why I speak to them." Oh, I'm sorry. He replied, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand." And when you think about that, it sounds like, well, Jesus is saying he's speaking in parables so that some people will believe him and some won't believe him. What he's saying is, by speaking in parables, the truth is revealed to those who will listen and think about it. But to those who won't listen or who won't think about it, it will just be silly talk. You see, the reality is they don't want to know. They don't take the time to really listen, to really think about what Jesus is saying. They're busy thinking about, "Stupid. What's he talking about? Oh, a seed producing 30 times? Can't it? 100 times? Oh, that's so stupid." You see, the parable ends up dividing people into those who really want to hear and those who don't want to hear, which is the second reason Jesus speaks in parables. He continues on and he says he speaks in parables to fulfill prophecy. Not just the prophecy that said the Messiah would teach in parables, but this prophecy by Isaiah, a very condemning prophecy, where Isaiah says, "In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, you will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them." He's saying it's a fulfillment of prophecy. These people, he's speaking here about the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the religious authorities, and all of their cronies. He says they hardly hear with their ears. Have you ever been in that sort of a situation where you're talking with someone? Maybe you have a disagreement with somebody about something. And you feel very strongly about your opinion. And you've got good factual evidence to back you up. And so you sit down with them and you talk with them. And you share why you believe what you believe. Or why you feel the way you feel. But as soon as you finish that, it's like they didn't hear a single word you said. And they go, "Yes, but," and they go into their own little rationale, which has no fact, no anything, whatever. This is what he's saying. They have ears that hardly hear. They're busy thinking about what's wrong with you, or in this case, what's wrong with Jesus. And he says, they have closed their eyes. Notice, who closed their eyes? They have. The people's hearts, as Jesus says, are calloused. They don't want to hear the truth. They refuse to even consider it, and so they close their eyes. It's that old, see no evil, hear no evil, speak no... They're just not going to see it. They're not going to hear it because they choose not to. They have adopted for themselves their own sense of what is reality and what is truth. And they don't want you to upset their apple cart. Or in this case, they didn't want Jesus to upset it. And so after explaining to them that the parables are there for them to listen and think about, and the parables are there to kind of be a dividing line between those who will believe and those who don't believe, Jesus then begins to tell his disciples the truth of the parable. And this is what he says. He tells them that the sower is anyone who carries the word of God and shares that word of God with others. Of course, that being the case, then the seed is the Word of God. Now, this fits in very nicely with what all of the Old or what all of the New Testament says. And it's an important point. The seed must be sown. In our New Testament reading, Paul said, "Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Last week I was sharing the gospel with somebody and they referred to it as the recipe. The recipe for salvation. Well, unless you have that recipe, you don't have salvation. But how do you ever get that recipe? How can a seed grow unless if someone plants it? How can you make a cake unless if somebody gives you the recipe? This is why Paul says, how can they call? How can they call on the name of the Lord Jesus if they don't believe? But how can they believe if they haven't heard it? And how can they hear if no one has preached it? And how can it be preached if no one sends them or no one does it? This is the message that Paul is sharing with the people of Rome. It goes back to Jesus, when he sent his disciples out, it was simply, as you go, it's expected. We are expected to be sowers of the seed, to spread the word of God. And then Jesus says, this sower goes out, he sows the seed, and four possible things are going to happen to the seed. One is the seed is going to land on the path. Now, the thing we have to understand here is, with each one of these outcomes, it relies on the soil. The soil is what determines what happens with the seed. It's not the fault of the sower. The sower simply sows it. It's not the fault of the seed. The seed is good. It germinates. The critical thing here is the soil. And the soil represents the heart. The heart of those who hear the word. The heart of those who have the word sowed to them. And so this first type of heart is a rocky path. It's hard. And the seed lands on it, but it doesn't even have a chance. It doesn't have a chance to get in because this person's heart is hard. In fact, the way Jesus describes it, it's eaten by the birds. And in the Bible, birds are a symbol of judgment. They come, they eat it, it's gone. Salvation is removed, it's just not even there because their heart is hardened. They will not hear the word. They, again, have their own truth. And they're going to stand by their own truth. The second type of soil is the rocky soil. Again, it's thin. There's rocks underneath. So for those of you who are into soil studies, it has a very high percolation factor. Water goes right through. It doesn't stay in. It germinates and it grows. Jesus says, this is like a person whose heart hears the Word of God, and he says, hears it and is filled with joy. They're the person who hears the Word of God and they become a member of the church, and the next thing you know, they are volunteering for everything. They're going to sing in the choir and serve on the consistory and take care of the lawn, and they're going to, you know, do the Passover meal, and they're going to this and that. They're going to do everything. They're extremely active. But then when hard times come, maybe it's a problem in their family, or maybe it's a struggle within the congregation. As soon as there's a struggle, adios, I'm out of here. I don't like that stuff. See you later. Forget it. You see, it just was enough. As long as it provided for them and made them happy, it was good. But if it meant any of this business of taking up the cross and following Jesus, well, then forget it. The third type of soil is the weeds. And that is summarized very well by American society. There's a song, it's on one of the commercials on TV, where the person says, I want it all, and I want it now. The weeds are the person who hears the Word of God and says, that sounds good, I want that. But I also want everything else in life. I want this, I want this, I want this. I don't want to give up any of my old loves. I don't want to give up any of my old habits. I'm going to mold the Word of God to fit into my life, but I'm going to continue to do what I want to do. Jesus specifically mentions the pursuit of wealth in this. I do think that that is a thing that can sometimes become all-consuming, where that's all a person can think about is, how much money can I make out of this? And that's not where we're supposed to be. We are supposed to be dedicated to bringing glory to God, not glory to ourselves. And so this person, the loves of their life, the worries about making money or bigger house or trips or whatever, all of those things just continue to grow and eventually choke out the Word, and there's no faith. Then there's the good soil. 1/4 is good soil. It's the heart that hears it. It's the heart that believes. It's the heart that hears the Word and goes, I am a sinner. I don't deserve heaven. What I do is wrong. What I think is wrong. What I say is wrong. Lord, forgive me. Replace my desires with a desire for you and with your Spirit. And Jesus says, that's the heart, that's the soil that will produce 30, 60, 100-fold. You know what's interesting about that? Think about it. Only 25% of the seed actually takes root in good soil. But if it produces 30-fold, it produces more than all the seed at the very beginning anyways. And that's in the worst case scenario. 60-fold? It's more than 2 times what was begun with. 100-fold, it's 4 times what was begun with. You see, the message that Jesus has here is that when the seed hits good soil, it totally transforms, it totally changes, and that person truly becomes a new creation. and they live for Him. And the effect of a Christian who is dedicated to living for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is powerful, is effective, and will lead many to salvation. They are going to get out and they're going to start sowing. And they're going to sow like crazy. And that leads to the rest of the sermon. 5 additional parables. And you're going, oh my word, this sermon's going to be 5 hours long. No, not quite. No, the 5 other parables all go to make 2 points. It's the parable of the mustard seed. It's the parable of the yeast. It's the parable of the pearls. It's the parable of the weeds. And it's the parable of the net, the fishing net. They can be put into 2 categories. The parable of the mustard seed, the yeast, and the pearl. In all of these, it starts out small. It grows. All of them say very simply, faith grows and bears fruit. James tells us faith without works is dead. John tells us the exact same thing. Paul tells us the same thing in Acts. If you have faith, nourish it. It'll grow. It'll bear good fruit. But yet, the parable of the weeds and the parable of the net tell us that faith leads to salvation. But no faith leads to condemnation. The parable of the net is cast, it's pulled up. There's good fish in it. We were to use a net out in the Delta. We won't do that because it's illegal. This, I'm just saying if. Okay? And when Fred and I go fishing, we don't use nets. Okay? I just want you to know that. But it would be like throwing a net out in the Delta and bringing it up. And when you bring it up, there's going to be some good fish in there. Maybe some salmon, some steelhead, maybe some striper, maybe a sturgeon. All of those we'd look at and go, that's good eating. There might also be some carp, some mudsuckers. We aren't going to catch any Delta smelt because that would hurt the environment and we don't want to do that. But the point is this, when you get a carp, do you look and go, oh gosh, I will cherish that carp. In fact, I think I'll take that to the taxidermist and have it mounted and put up in my house. A carp? It's trash fish. You throw it out. Remember, Jesus was sitting there on the Sea of Galilee. He's speaking to a fishing town. He's making it as clear to them as He possibly can. In the judgment, there's good fish, there's bad fish. The good fish are the good soils. I will keep them and cherish them. The bad fish, I toss them out, they're worthless. This is the message of the third sermon. Sow the seed. Faith will grow and bear fruit. There is a judgment. May we sow the seed. May we bear much fruit. And may we be the good fish in the net. In our Savior's name, amen. This time I'd like to ask the ushers to come forward for the gathering of our tithes and our offerings.